is Matt Mosley. Matt Mosley Show, ESPN Central Texas, alongside Stephen Simcox. Proud to be joined by Pete Fredenberg, coach at Mary Hardin Baylor. And, coach, it's a real pleasure to visit with you. You don't remember this, but I was one of your campers all those years ago at age 10 or 11 at Grant Taft Football Camp. And, man, was that a fun time back in the day. It was a little hot, but we had that marina, whatever that swimming pool was over there. Y'all drop us off, and that was the time of my life. I don't think I've ever quite equaled Grant Taft Football Camp. You know, staying in dorms, no parents involved. That's about as good as it got back then.
That was so much fun. Yeah, that was an incredible experience. In fact, I was actually, I think I was in charge of those football camps. So
yeah,
I had to do all the ins and outs for him.
You were front center for sure, and I remember Bob Fix playing a prominent role as well. We didn't know whether to be horrified of him or what. What an interesting character that was. But Baylor people of a certain age always remember Coach Fix waving that towel, the growl towel. Pete, that became that was kind of an iconic thing on the sideline.
He was exactly what you just said, an incredible story, incredible man. You could listen to him tell stories for hours and hours, and you were constantly amazed at some of the things that he would talk about. And, you know, he felt like he was reincarnated and was had his life before in that area as an Indian. So yeah. That's an incredible story.
He might have tried out a little peyote at some point, do you think, Coach?
Possibly, yeah.
I remember what you're talking about, though. He went and actually lived with some Native Americans. I can't remember which tribe, but now he told us, I don't remember if you remember this story, like he actually, some kind of ritual where he had an unbelievable pain tolerance. You remember? And they did something to his chest. I don't know if they put hooks into it or something. But
it's called the it was called the Dance of the Sun, and you had to dance for 72 hours, and then they hung you up. They put a stake through your pecs. And hung you up. You remember the show, The Man Called Horse?
Yeah.
It's on that show. And this is the way a person becomes a true Indian. He has to go through the Dance of the Sun, if I remember correctly. But Bob hung for 45 minutes, and finally his pec broke, and he fell off the hanging tree.
Goodness gracious. I mean, that just...
Yeah.
Pretty wild stuff.
That's the man.
That definitely is. I have not heard from him in years. Talking to Pete Fredenberg, coach at Mary Hardin Baylor on the Matt Mosley Show, ESPN Central Texas. Now, walk me back a little bit. I love that staff. That was a unique staff. Y'all were on Wade and Bill Lane, Cotton Davidson, F.A. Of course, I think that might have been after he'd coached at TCU. He was coaching the O-line, Coach James. I mean, that was a and you were the defensive coordinator, of course. What a unique staff. What was that like to be a part of that? Grant, y'all just had an incredible staff, and you had staying power. There was a lot of loyalty with that staff.
There was a lot of loyalty. You know, John Goodner was on that staff as well. And
yeah.
John Goodner, Robert James, and I coached together there for 11 years. We had the reason that I had come to Baylor was because of Corky Nelson, and Corky had left and gone to North Texas, and I ended up staying with Coach Taft, and it was a remarkable experience. But Robert James and Bill Lane and Wade Turner, and I talked to Coach Taft just the other day. He's doing well, and we're just really proud of the new coach at Baylor, and we're excited to see what he's going to bring.
I bet he's envious of you, Grant, the fact that you have just kept on rolling. You know, Daryl Royal retired when he was 52 years old. And I don't want to give your age, but I do know it, and you're a little bit older than 52 now. I mean, that's pretty cool. Is it one of those things that, hey, you've always continued to feel great. So why hang it up?
You know, exactly. I really and truly thought that I would come to Mary Hardin Baylor and spend 2 or 3 years here and get back into Division One. That was 22 years ago. And obviously, you can see that we found a wonderful place to live, a great university to work for, and it has been an incredible experience. And watching kids that don't get any kind of financial aid, or they get financial aid, but they don't get it from athletic scholarship, but they to see the kind of effort and the pride that they play with and the love of the game they have, it's just been an incredible experience for me and my wife and my whole family, really.
237-40 is your record there. I mean, generally when you start a new program, you get beat up for a few years, and you guys kind of hit the ground running. What's the biggest reason you feel like y'all have had this unbelievable success over the years? And obviously, I know that, the national title, in my mind, that will always be yours, and so don't even worry. This latest ruling, I don't think it meant anything to anybody. It's just because that was y'all's title, and everybody's always going to think that way. But when you look back on all this success, what are the one or two things that just stand out to you on why you've been able to do this?
Well, you know, the thing that I learned from Grand is to he was amazing of reading kids, and he always went after kids with great character, kids that were good athletes in their own right, but the more important than anything is that they loved to play the game, and they were going to be great teammates. They cared about others, and and so following that same line of thought, that's what we look for. We go into schools and we want to know from their coaches, the high school coaches, what kind of character they are, what kind of intangible qualities they have, and what makes them tick. Because in Division III, without giving scholarships, and they're going to be an inch shorter or 10 pounds lighter or whatever, but they still have such a passion for the game, and they love to play it, and that's what we go look for. We obviously want to find good athletes, but more importantly, we look for guys with those great intangible qualities.
Talking to Pete Fredenberg, the Mary Hardin Baylor football coach, what were you doing 22 years ago when they approached you about this? I know after Baylor, I think what'd you go to? LSU for a little bit, maybe went to Louisiana Tech. What were you up to at that time when you got that call?
Well, you know, I was really wanting to stabilize Cody, my youngest son's life. You know, I promised his mother when we got married that I'm not interested in being a coach that travels around all over the world, and so I was wanting to stabilize Cody's life. We left Waco, went to LSU, then went to Louisiana Tech, and he's moving around, and he's in the eighth grade, ninth grade. And then finally he gets here. He's a sophomore, and I really wanted to stabilize his life. And as I said earlier, I thought I would do that for 2 or 3 years and then get back into Division One, but he came and played here, and we had a great memories, and it was so much fun. And that was 22 years ago, so we obviously found a place that we've fallen in love with.
Did you, at the time when you were with Grant, in your mind, were you wanting to? Did you envision yourself as a major, you know, a major conference head coach? Was that the, I guess for all of y'all, that was kind of the ultimate goal? I still, some of your players wish you had been the guy who got one of those jobs. Obviously, they went through three or four guys where it didn't work out. What was in the back of your mind back then? Was that your ultimate goal?
Well, sure. You know, and I really thought that, I think that I was, had anticipated and thought that ultimately when Coach Staff got out, that because I was loyal, I loved it there. My wife was a teacher there, and that my kids were all going to school there. It would be a great transition for me to be the head coach at Baylor University, and that's kind of was always in the back of my thoughts, and that's what I aspired to want to do. It just didn't work out, and you know they chose Chuck Reedy, and Chuck had the experience at Clemson, and my experience in college was only at Baylor, and so he was a little more appealing to the decision makers, and then I had to ultimately leave. So that's the way that story went.
Yeah, they made the wrong decision, by the way, but hindsight's 20/20. Now, what would what was your best Baylor defense? Now, of course, Big Cat Jones and Santana would certainly claim that they were the best ever. And I mean, they used to get so mad at the offense. I bet you did too, although you probably couldn't really show it. 89, 90, right around then, y'all were basically holding teams to nothing. What would you say if you had to pick, okay, this was the best defense we ever had, is there one season that stands out in your mind?
Well, you know, obviously the one in 89 was so remarkable, beating Texas 50-7 in Austin. And actually the defense, I think, gave up or were instrumental in scoring 35 points. So that was an incredible group of players, and with James Francis and Robert Blackman and so many of those guys. But man, it's hard to pick out some because you know you go through processes of building and watching players grow and develop. It was so much fun with Santana and Robin and those. We had 8 defensive linemen that were just outstanding players and. And those were really great, outstanding defenses. And it was just fun putting them together and then watching them grow and develop. So we were very fortunate the years that we were there. And I really think that it's the wonderful thing that you learned is Coach Taft just said, let y'all turn it over to us. And I was surrounded by great coaches like John Goodner and Scott Smith and Robert James and guys that I just sat back and let them do the work, and I just called the defenses and let those guys play, and it was great fun and a great experience.
All right, Shea Mastin reached out to me, and he said he remembers before that 91 A&M game that you were going down the roster saying, would you trade any of your players? And the way he tells it, he said, yeah, we would trade a few of them or something along those lines. Do you remember that speech?
Yeah, a lot of them were looking at me because I was trying to convince our guys that I wouldn't trade any of our guys for any of theirs. And they would look at me like, are you crazy, sir? We'd trade some of these guys for some of theirs. Oh, Lisha, he's a dude.
You know, he got recruited, you know, you remember this, by Hawaii as well. He was telling us that story recently. He said he enjoyed that Hawaii visit. Nobody was really there to show him around. So he got on a scooter and just went all around the island by himself. Said he had a heck of a time. But I think he decided he needed, for you know, to keep his head on straight, he probably needed to go to Baylor.
Well, you know the rest of the story, because I mean he can tell you the whole deal. That was, he had a great time in Hawaii, and he decided he better pay attention to where he could go get his education and finish. And I'm glad he chose us. He was with that same group with Jesse Armstead and all those guys. He was just an absolutely incredible player.
Have you changed your philosophy over the years, like, you know, just the defensive strategy? When you obviously had a little bit different type of athlete you're recruiting to Mary Harden Baylor, did it cause you to change any of your principles? Have you had to adjust? Obviously, more teams are using the spread now. What how have you evolved as a defensive? Well, you're a head coach, but you know, obviously, you'll always have that defense first mentality.
Yeah. Yeah, and Larry Harmon is our defensive coordinator. He's been with me 20 years, by the way, and
wow.
So he fits in very well with our system and our thoughts. But you know, obviously we've changed. We ran a lot of man-to-man at Baylor, and to be able to get people in the box. And now that people spread the field so much, and we've moved more to a little bit of zone, and we still run some man, but mainly zone. But it's still the same. We still basically play the same way we did with a front four and the linebackers and stuff. So, you know, and the defense that I learned there at Baylor under Corky and Grant, and then the evolution with Goodner and Robert James, all of that, it's just kind of what we do here too.
Okay, and when talking to Pete Fredenberg, Mary Harden Baylor, when will your guys get back to campus, and have you been reaching out to them to kind of, you know, remind them, guys, you better be distancing, and you certainly don't want to be dealing with a bunch of COVID cases when they do return. How far before the actual season will you get them back on campus?
Well, they come back on August the 7th. There's some here now. In fact, they're outside throwing and catching and running around that they do all that on their own. But when they come on August the 7th, that's when we start the process. Right now we've got about 230 youngsters coming, and we're excited to get started. But, boy, this thing is a real challenge now with all of the things that we're going through and keeping distance and keeping them safe and trying to make sure that we do it correctly. It's a challenge, and every day it's a little bit different. So we pray for a vaccine and to get over this. I'm ready for all this to be done.
Well, listen, we'll be pulling for you guys, and you've been a great example, and what a cool. It's not what you envisioned, like you said, but 22 years later, that's become a monster of a program. Right there in Belton, Texas, and we admire what you've done, and it's really fun getting to visit with you, Coach.
God bless you, man. It's been fun. You brought us some great memories. Thank you.
You bet.